Fresh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is about to cut off food assistance for more than 40 million Americans because of the government shutdown. The program runs out of money tomorrow. Also, those who pay for their own health insurance found out this week how much their premiums will be going up, which the Democrats say is at the heart of the government shutdown. ABC's Jay O'Brien's at the Capitol.
Democrats have said they're not going to vote to reopen the government unless Republicans negotiate with them on this critical issue of these Affordable Care Act tax credits that are set to expire. And if they do expire, they could cause premiums for tens of millions of Americans on average to double.
Republicans say they won't negotiate till the government is open. Prince Andrew, don't call him that anymore. He is now Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as his brother, the King, strips him of all his titles, including Prince, because of his association with Jeffrey Epstein. Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba still picking up the pieces after Hurricane Melissa, more than two dozen deaths across the Caribbean. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cochimilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A big night for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports, where the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120-110. And that was without Giannis, who was scratched an hour before the game with knee soreness. Ryan Rollins stepped up with a career-high 32 points and was able to guard Stephen Curry. Doc Rivers.
I think you can put Ryan on anyone in as far as a guard. You know, Steph, there is no tougher guard, maybe in NBA history, other than Michael. To be able to guard Steph and then still score points, the number one thing it tells you about his conditioning level, and then it tells you about his mental toughness.
Baseball, Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays up 3-2 over the Dodgers. NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month and says the team is getting better every day.
We're just getting more advanced, and it's a good thing when everyone's knowledgeable, when everyone's coming to work to learn, and everyone knows when their opportunity is going to be there.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'm joined by Yuri Rashkin, a Rock County Board supervisor and a Russian-American journalist. We discuss the Ukraine-Russia war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
From Oshkosh City Hall to Madison, stay informed with the Civic Media Radio Network's news team. Real news, great conversation.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered afternoon showers. Our high in the upper 40s to low 50s here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers possible. Maybe a flurry or two mixing in. Our low in the 30s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Alrighty, here we go on a Friday morning. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We got plenty from Wisconsin that were recognized last night at the 98th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Welcome to it, everybody. Happy Halloween. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Yes, this is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll give you a rundown on all of the Wisconsin National winners as we roll through the morning. You know, a 72,000 youth in attendance at this year's convention, it kind of begs the question, how many places can this convention go? How many cities have the scope to be able to hold that many young people in a safe environment? It looks like the FFA is already thinking about that. We'll bring you that detail. We are having a little fun on a Halloween Friday. What do deer and Halloween have in common? Well, you can ask Ben Jarbo. He's got that story on the way for us as well. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will be joining us with weather details. Doesn't look bad this morning. Sunshine on the way. Daytime highs right around 50 degrees. Watch for increasing clouds this afternoon because we've got showers possible overnight. About a 50% chance. Doesn't look like a lot, but again, a dampening, shall we say. Saturday, showers in the morning, cloudy skies the rest of the day, highs on Saturday around 46. Sunday, sunshine returns, 50 degrees. Stu Muck with weather details in about 15 minutes.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Some call it October, but in agriculture, it's Porktober. Although summer has ended and prime grilling season has come to an end, it's still the perfect time of year to enjoy pork for your next meal. Carrie Ritalik, the executive vice president of the Wisconsin Pork Association, is along with us. She tells us why we spend the month of October hamming it up and celebrating the pork industry.
October is considered pork month because in the past, it's usually a lower market for our pork producers. So what we would like to do is promote. And so we can utilize our promotions to help spear the market price and get some more dollars for our pork producers. So traditionally, it's been a lower market than it typically is throughout the rest of the year. So that's the reason why we do additional promotions during October.
Well, and tell me, Carrie, what are some of those extra promotions that you guys are doing?
Well, there's quite a few things that are going on right now. In May, National Pork Board, utilizing our pork producers' checkoff dollars, started a new brand. It is called Taste What Pork Can Do. And so we're really utilizing a lot of the different things throughout the promotion for flavor profiles. So pork works very well with a lot of different flavors. And so we started a new website that has Taste What Pork Can Do. It has a lot of great recipes. So anyone that's interested in trying a new recipe can go to that website, Taste What Pork Can Do. And that is something that they can look at and actually utilize different cuts of pork for their family meals during the month of October. Some of the other things that we're also doing is we have an influencer campaign, so trying to get information out to our families of different pork dishes that they can utilize. We've been doing some retail promotions with retailers throughout the state. We've also been promoting Wisconsin Raised Pork, which is something that was started by the Wisconsin Pork Association, and it has been utilized to get more pork into local schools, as well as getting it out to consumers throughout the state. And we've partnered a lot with Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors to partner our pork producers with the processors so that they can provide local meat to the consumers there in their respective areas. So those are some of the key things that we've been doing to promote pork during October Pork Month. And one other one that we were really proud to support with our Wisconsin Raised program was working with the Badger Dairy Club during World Dairy Expo. They not only provided the attendees with grilled cheese sandwiches that they have done for years, but they also added a grilled ham and cheese, and they utilized local Wisconsin-raised pork for that ham that they utilized during World Dairy Expo. So that was a great promotion for us as well, to support our industry and to support pork producers and provide an excellent product for our consumers out there.
Well, I would say, you know, we really love the versatility and the flavor and, of course, the nutrition of that pork. Let's go ahead and take a little bit of a closer look. Tell me, when did you start your Wisconsin Raised program?
The Wisconsin Raised program actually started out of COVID. We had the opportunity to work with some producers that were having a difficult time getting loads of their hogs to market, and we certainly didn't want them to end up in a landfill somewhere. So we worked with a lot of Wisconsin Association meat processors to harvest those pigs, and then we worked with the plants to make sure that that product got processed, and then a lot of that product was eligible and went to our food pantries throughout the state of Wisconsin. So it really grew out of 2020, and then we started working 2021 through 2023, continued with the program, and then we launched it this last year so that we could utilize that partnership between the local producers and processors to continue to stimulate interest for the products. And then along with that, working with our program director, Morgan Warwick, we started a food service guide. And so this will be going out to schools throughout Wisconsin and providing them information of what they can utilize different cuts of pork with, and it gives them a lot of information about how to prepare it and different recipes, and it's all pulled together to utilize Wisconsin Raised Pork.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that twofold a little bit. What's the response that you're seeing from producers?
There's a lot of producers that work with their local meat processing plants, and so it's still in its infancy stages to work with producers, get people lined up with their processor and the producer and get that information out. But the response has been really good, and we're looking forward to getting more and more people signed up in the program.
And on the flip side, are you seeing a positive response from consumers?
The consumers really enjoy knowing where their meat is coming from, and so it's a really beneficial at this time with the nutritional aspect as well, because pork is a really great protein. 3 ounces of pork, you know, usually generates about 24 grams of protein. So like pork loin and pork sirloin and pork tenderloin, those are all very nutritious. Don't have a lot of calories, 165 calories or less for each 3 ounce serving. So it's really a very good protein and nutritional source, and that's something that we really want to provide to our young people in these schools. And being able to get this locally raised, Wisconsin raised pork into the school food service system is something that we're going to continue to work on and hopefully grow in the future.
Well, with that food service guide and getting pork into the schools like you're talking, is there a hope then that the students will go home to their families and say, I had this great dish at school?
That is, absolutely. That's the hope. You know, we really encourage family dinners, and everybody is so busy with life in general, but it's really important to have that opportunity to sit down at the dinner table, have a nutritious meal, and just talk. And have the families, get together. And as I mentioned earlier, pork is such a great protein to be able to pull together a lot of different flavors. And if you go to Taste What Pork Can Do and its website, it gives you a lot of recipes that don't take a lot of time to prepare and or cook. And so it's something, one of those things that's just really, it's very popular. And if you have a opportunity, I know a lot of families like to meal prep like on a Sunday or something, and they can get all of this prepared on Sunday for the rest of the week, and then it makes things a lot easier for them to sit down to a tasty meal with pork.
Well, Carrie, what's your message to consumers as we wrap up this pork month?
Well, I think it's just, we want to thank all of our consumers out there. We want you to eat more pork. Remember, it's a nutritious, delicious protein that's available, readily available, and it's cost effective. And it's one of those things that if you continue to, support local and utilize it if they're in your area, Wisconsin Raised Program, and continue to purchase pork on a regular basis.
Carrie Ritalik, the Executive Vice President with the Wisconsin Pork Association. She reminds us that with the October promotions, we shouldn't be spooked if there's wicked good deals in the meat case. Take advantage of the opportunity and stock your freezer with pork. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Netnair on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose announced October 28th that his office had referred 1,200 illegal voting cases to the U.S. Justice Department for prosecution. But his track record of convictions is less than stellar, and many of the cases were previously declined by Ohio County prosecutors for lack of evidence. In 2024, LaRose demanded county prosecutors act on 633 cases of alleged voter fraud LaRose had referred for prosecution during his tenure. Only 12 cases were pursued, and only 6 resulted in an indictment because there wasn't enough evidence. The year before, LaRose pulled out of ERIC, the multi-state cooperative which updates state voter registration lists for voters who've moved, died, or may have duplicate registrations. In his latest crusade, which includes the cases county prosecutors chose not to prosecute, LaRose claims that 1,084 non-citizens registered to vote unlawfully in Ohio, including 167 non-citizens who cast a ballot in a federal election. Another 99 Ohio voters voted in 2 states in the same election, 16 voted twice in Ohio, 14 voted in a federal election after the date of their death, 4 engaged in ballot collection, and 2 registered where it was not their primary residence. It's now up to federal prosecutors to separate fact from fiction. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr drops by with great music and fun chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 6 till 8.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Forecast, we are going to be talking later about the FFA kids coming back from Indianapolis this weekend. Other activities aside from trick and treat, thank you to Connie from Velders reminding me that both boys and girls cross country in Wisconsin Rapids this kind of today and this weekend for finals, for state finals. You know, whether you're trick-or-treating or driving or running, I guess, the weather doesn't look completely awful this weekend, does it, Stu?
No, it's not too bad. There's going to be a little chance of some rain. But everybody I talk to, you know, all right, these are guys. Yeah, it could stay like this till March. That'll be just fine.
I have to agree. I thought the same thing this morning, how I'm happy that it, okay, maybe a few showers, but at least trick-and-treaters are not going to be walking through snow. I'm sure there's plenty of activities planned on State Street here in Madison for the Friday night celebration. Like I said, the weather is going to be conducive to fun.
Yeah, it is going to permit you to get out a little cool, yes, and there will be a few little sprinkly showers we have to talk about. Oh, not going to amount to a real big deal. There's a weakening front out to the west, low pressure this morning. Looks to be just on the north side of Minnesota, but in Minnesota, it's very scattered light rain in the southeast part of the state. Oh, from right around where the Mississippi and St. Croix join down into southeast parts of Minnesota, further back into northern Minnesota. And during the day today, especially late afternoon and evening, some of that very light rain, a little scattered, sprinkly shower may build on into Wisconsin. A small chance of that hit or miss rain around into the nighttime or even early tomorrow in the east and southeast. There may be a little hit or miss shower. None of it is going to amount to much of anything, you know, a tenth of an inch total or less. But you may need an umbrella if you're out and about late tonight. That might be about it. Just keep from getting a little damp. Otherwise, temperatures are a little cooler, certainly closer to normal today, and getting a little cooler overnight and on into the day Saturday. Those temps begin to turn around a bit Sunday. That's going to come with some stronger winds. Once that low clears out and high pressure builds in, our winds turn back to more of a southerly direction into Sunday, trying to warm it up a little bit. Oh, that could account for just a small rain chance Sunday night, but it will push those temps to above normal into next week. Southern Wisconsin could have a 60 again by around Wednesday. There's one to keep in mind, a little warmer in that first week of November. And it looks like that warm-up starts up for us then late Sunday night, and certainly will be noticeable once we get the week underway. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you?
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
All righty, Stu, let's talk a little bit about that forecast. Lots of different activities that we want to get done this weekend, and it sounds like the weather is going to cooperate.
The weather should absolutely cooperate, and our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update does include a little patchy fog in western and northern Wisconsin this morning. Hopefully it's not going to be too dense, but there is some fog out there, and otherwise I expect a little break today. Some sunshine in the southeast, more clouds in the northwest, even a small rain chance almost anywhere in the state as we head toward this evening. I'm anticipating temps in the upper 40s and low 50s with northwest winds about 5 to 10. That chance for a few scattered showers, real spotty stuff in the nighttime, mostly cloudy, of course, and we drop down into the mid-30s, you know, in the 40s at trick-or-treat hours in the evening. West winds at 5. Into the east and south, a slight rain chance early Saturday, otherwise partly sunny, mid and upper 40s. And by Sunday, Pam, a little more sunshine, a little breezy, and I'd expect upper 40s, maybe a 50 or so in the south as the southwest winds start to pick up, and then those temperatures really warm up for next week.
Well, and let's not forget, don't we fall back on Sunday?
Yep, Sunday morning, fall back an hour. Everybody's going to be messed up again.
Yeah, for a little bit anyhow. Good enough, man. Well, let's make sure we're on the same page when we talk again on Monday, all right?
I'm hoping for that little bit of a warmer spell. That could be nice.
Yeah, a nice way to start our conversation next week. All right, buddy, enjoy the weekend. Happy Halloween.
You bet. Take care.
All right. He's spooky every day, and so is his forecast. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compure Financial ag weather update. Remember, Compure Financial, your financial partner, also committed to rural America. Check out what they can offer at Compure.com. FFA results on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with
a new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is farmers don't have a choice. If the departments decide they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if they if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is this I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is about to cut off food assistance for more than 40 million Americans because of the government shutdown. The program runs out of money tomorrow. Also, those who pay for their own health insurance found out this week how much their premiums will be going up, which the Democrats say is at the heart of the government shutdown. ABC's Jay O'Brien's at the Capitol.
Democrats have said they're not going to vote to reopen the government unless Republicans negotiate with them on this critical issue of these Affordable Care Act tax credits that are set to expire. And if they do expire, they could cause premiums for tens of millions of Americans on average to double.
Republicans say they won't negotiate till the government is open. Prince Andrew, don't call him that anymore. He is now Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor as his brother, the King, strips him of all his titles, including Prince, because of his association with Jeffrey Epstein. Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba still picking up the pieces after Hurricane Melissa, more than two dozen deaths across the Caribbean. This is ABC News.
A big night for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120 to 110. And that was without Giannis, who was scratched an hour before the game with knee soreness. Ryan Rollins stepped up with a career-high 32 points and was able to guard Stephen Curry. Doc Rivers.
I think you put Ryan on anyone in as far as a guard. You know, Steph, there is no tougher guard maybe in NBA history other than Michael. to be able to guard Steph and then still score points, the number one thing it tells you about his conditioning level, and then it tells you about his mental toughness.
Baseball, Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays up 3-2 over the Dodgers. NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month and says the team is getting better every day.
We're just getting more advanced, and it's a good thing when everyone's knowledgeable, when everyone's coming to work to learn, and everyone knows when their opportunity is going to be there.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Join us for a special Halloween edition next time. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with spooky headlines. And on a serious note, celebrating Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos with Juan Garcia.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WISS's News Roundup in podcast form. Go to WISS.FM to subscribe.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered afternoon showers. Our high in the upper 40s to low 50s here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers possible. Maybe a flurry or two mixing in. Our low in the 30s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace. And it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I push legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger. as far as purchase more land and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
The AM.
Halloween Friday, let's get excited about it. We've got winners from the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis on the way for you on a Finally Friday. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. Yes, this is the Midwest Farm Report. We're also going to be talking about where the National FFA Convention will go to next. Let's face it, when you're dealing with more than 72,000 young people from across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, and you want them to be in a safe environment, your platforms may be somewhat limited as far as where you can go. We're going to find out from Wisconsin's Executive Director of FFA Programming, Cheryl Zimmerman, what the National Board has decided as far as their future convention destinations. That is on the way on this, the 31st day of Halloween. Kind of glad to see that the weather hopefully will cooperate with all the trick-and-treaters that might be out tonight. So on this day back in 2011, the United Nations said that the world's official population reached 7 billion. That was back on 2011. So they called it Day of 7 Billion. That's a number to kind of keep in mind, especially when you fast forward more than a decade. Couple happy birthdays. Happy birthday this morning to Vanilla Ice. Ice Ice Baby is 58 years young today. The daughter of Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith, Willow Smith, turns 25. And honestly, I didn't even know he was still around. Dan Rather, former CBS newsman, turns 94 today. And now you know. I mentioned that I'm sure some folks are getting excited, or their kids are getting excited, about Halloween tonight. If you're going to be out and about, we've got a spooky story for you. As the days get shorter as far as daylight, watch out for deer. Ben Jarbo's got that spooky story now.
When you're out trick-or-treating night, going from town to town, the scariest thing you see might not be a ghost, a zombie, or even a witch. It could be that 10-point on your trail camera standing right in front of your car. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and I had a chat with Lieutenant Nate Henriksen with the Wisconsin State Patrol, where he gives some tips to make sure you don't take down that trophy buck on the road.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, whether it's country road, the interstate, or even in town, you know, it's that time of year. So making sure that drivers are paying attention, they're avoiding distractions and even eliminating distractions, driving at a safe speed, and making sure that the occupants in the vehicle are all buckled up. So, you know, everyone can be as safe as possible as they're traveling down the road.
And I know there's a lot of questions asked. What's the best maneuverability, or what's the best thing to do if there is a deer that maybe jumps out in front of you that you don't see beforehand?
Yeah, it's a very common question. You know, we kind of have that saying, don't swerve for deer. But, you know, you just want to make sure that you can see the deer ahead of time as much as possible by eliminating those distractions. But, you know, brake firmly, stay in your lane. Avoid those sudden swerves, and just whatever you can do to ensure that you can keep your vehicle under control.
And this year, I don't know if you have any numbers yet, but do you have any idea how many deer have been hit in the state so far?
We don't have the specific number this year, but I can tell you in last year, in 2024, we had over 17,000 crashes involving deer on Wisconsin roads.
Where are those places that people, when they're driving through there, they should really be looking?
Sure. So I can tell you again, last year's numbers, it did show that Waukesha County had the highest. And then kind of the top 10 is Waukesha with 937. Washington was second. St. Croix, Dane County, Sheboygan County, Fond du Lac County, Outagamie, Manitowoc, Walworth, and then Winnebago County.
Yeah, and another thing to kind of add on to this, I know deer are moving, but it's also starting to get colder, and We're expecting a La Nina this winter, a very wet winter with snow. How does that change how you deal with deer coming out in front of you and avoiding deer once you get snow on the road?
Yeah, I mean, traveling for the conditions of the roadway is essential, you know, regardless of the time of day. So, you know, based on the traffic conditions, the weather conditions, those are all things that you want to take in consideration for your speed that you're traveling, as well as, you know, just bears repeating, making sure that you eliminate those distractions, whatever you can do to make sure that you have your most attention fixed on the road ahead, scanning ahead, anticipating, especially, you know, in the early morning hours or in the evenings where deer may be more on the move, and just anticipating those situations where you may need to, again, brake firmly in your lane. So you can, whatever you can do to avoid swerving and losing control of your vehicle. So that may mean reducing your speed. And, you know, something else to consider as well this time of year is if you see one deer crossing the road, there's a high likelihood that there may be, you know, one or two more behind it. So just because you see one, you know, being mindful of making sure that there aren't more than just the one that you see.
And finally, if someone were to hit a deer, I mean, they have a lot of adrenaline going through them, but what's that best course of action? What do you need to do right after you were to hit a deer?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, that's that first kind of situation where you do have that adrenaline pumping and probably frustrated and upset over it. But just to be mindful of, you know, okay, so this happened, now what? Making sure that you are out of the roadway, that you can get your vehicle out of the travel lanes to avoid any secondary crashes. So making sure that, yes, you get out of the roadway with your vehicle if you're able to do so. And then think about where you are to be able to provide that to the authorities, to call 911, give a vehicle description, description of where you are, where you think the deer may be, but really just making sure that you're safe and getting out of the roadway as quickly as you can. And if even able to drive your vehicle, let's say you're in a controlled highway like the interstate or somewhere else, that you would be able to pull your vehicle out of the main travel portions of the roadway to either the next exit or to a parking lot or somewhere where you're furthest away from those travel lanes so that you can do those follow-up assessments of your vehicle for damage or having law enforcement arrive to take a report for your vehicle.
Lieutenant Henriksen says to be watching for eyes because the chances are it's not that legendary ghost that you always hear about. It's probably a deer. And if it steps out in front of you, do not swerve. Just hit the brakes firmly while also laying on the horn. And if you were to hit the deer, find a safe place to pull off to the side so you do not obstruct any more traffic. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Well, insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatestyields.
On an early Friday morning, we know that Wisconsin's got at least 4 national winners at the 98th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Congratulations this morning to Owen Hemling from Beaver Dam, national winner in the Agri-Science Fair. Josie Roberts from Portage, national winner in prepared public speaking. Hannah Olson from Adams Friendship, the National Beef Production Placement Proficiency Award winner. Marshall Kleiman from Granton, the National Dairy Production Entrepreneurship Proficiency Award winner. Congratulations. You know, when you've got more than 70,000 kids that are in attendance at a convention, you've got to think safety first, and obviously then availability of rooms, conference space. Indianapolis has been able to accommodate the group for the past number of years, but what about going forward? Cheryl Zimmerman, Wisconsin's executive director of the FFA program, says that they'll stick with Indianapolis through 2040. She says that while the conference is growing in size, so is Indianapolis's capacity.
Well, you know, I've been to a number of national FFA conventions, and even thinking back to when we first came here, you know, they switched from having the RCA Dome, which was the football stadium at that time, and then obviously Lucas Oil Stadium came here, and then that now has become the venue where our events are our main convention sessions. And then the opportunity as we look out the windows of the convention center as that has expanded, there's a new hotel and more convention space coming. So Indianapolis is growing right along with our organization. And that's what really helps in this key partnership is that they're willing and they know that we want and have more members that want to be a part of this. And they're willing to help us make that happen.
Cheryl Zimmerman, she's the executive director of our Wisconsin FFA, also sits on the National FFA board. Markets are lower, and overnight electronic trade barrel and block cheese were unchanged yesterday. The AA butter up a penny and three quarters, 157 and a quarter per pound.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Did you know that some of the bikers in the area are gathering to do something brand new this year for Halloween? Listen to this. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411. And on Friday, October 31st, starting at 4:30, meet up at the Jackson Street Quick Trip. Bring candy, arrive in your costume, decorate your bike for the first annual Halloween costume ride created by the Oshkosh Motorcycle Group, as they'll be passing out candy during Trick or Treat from 5 till 7 on Halloween. Check it out. Go to WISS.FM and click events.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new study from researchers in Oregon. They found women living in areas with heavy emissions from cars and trucks are more likely to develop breast cancer. The Trump administration recently rescinded EPA rules meant to reduce vehicle emissions. Wisconsin's small farming communities bracing for the end of federal food share benefits. Not only do thousands of rural residents rely on federal food assistance, about $120 million of Wisconsin's food share benefits are spent at local farmers' markets. Bragging rights for Wisconsin apples. An organic orchard in Washington County named one of the top 10 apple orchards in the country by USA Today. Peck and Bushel Fruit Company in Colgate is the largest organic apple orchard in the upper Midwest. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Through our brand new Midwest Farm Report app. It's absolutely free, available for both Apple and Android. And talk about ease of operation. That's important to me. Right on the home screen, you will see a button that says basically submit. Hit that button. You can send us a video of the kids, pictures of the kids. You can send us voice messages, all in one spot. Midwest Farm Report, available for both Apple and Android. And then just submit those pictures or videos to us. We'd love to see them. Well, I'm sure if hunters are heading to the woods, no matter what they're after, they're happy when they have a success. And then what are you going to do with all that protein? Stephanie Hoff joins us this morning with some not-so-scary suggestions.
As hunters spend more time in the woods hoping to fill the freezer with venison and turkey, jerky recipes might be starting to come out of the cookbook. Today, we talk about the best practices for making jerky at home. Extension meat specialist Jeff Sindelar has tips on flavoring, food safety, and how to get that perfect chewy texture every time. First, I ask Jeff, now that it's Halloween, any spooky stories of kitchen disasters that could happen that we can avoid?
Yeah, right. So there's always things that can go wrong with everything, and definitely with jerky. Maybe some advice is don't go overboard. Don't go crazy with the soy sauce or the peppers or anything like that. And definitely don't go overboard with drying, because you can take a beautiful piece of meat and make it almost a weapon if it's too dry, too hard, too brittle. So just moderation, and let science help you make a great product.
Well, speaking of science, let's talk food safety. When you are preserving meat, what are those food components, ingredients that are top of mind to make sure that it is edible?
Great question. So jerky, right? The whole purpose of making jerky is to make something that doesn't need to be refrigerated, and it has good flavor. It's fun to eat. You want to eat more and more and more the more that you eat it. So like some basic do's is slice jerky to a good thickness, typically about a quarter inch thick is ideal. And a lot of people like to take whole pieces of meat, put them into a freezer for a little bit to firm things up, and then slice. And if you have a really good sharp knife, you can absolutely do this by hand. You just have to be a little careful and take your time, and then get some salt, get some sugar, maybe some spices if you like maybe some black pepper, maybe some red pepper, maybe some ginger or garlic. Mix those with the jerky and allow that jerky to absorb that. And then you want to go through some cooking and drying process. And generally, cooking can be done if you have a smoker or a grill or an oven or a food dehydrator that has some cooking capacity or capability. Cook that jerky to at least 158 or 160 degrees, and then dry the jerky slowly and carefully. And generally, for really good jerky, you usually want to target about 50% loss. So if you have, let's say, a pound of jerky before the cooking and drying, you want to end up with about 50% or about a half a pound of the finished stuff.
How long should it last?
Well, jerky can really last indefinitely as long as you do everything properly. So since jerky is made to be shelf stable, it can last for a couple of years. However, there are some watch outs. So sometimes mold will form. So if you can put jerky in an airtight container and try to remove some of that air, or put it in a refrigerator or freezer, put it in some of those conditions where like mold won't grow. So if you think about like mold growing on bread or other stuff that, like in your pantry, same type of thing can happen with jerky. So it can last a long time. But just making jerky and throwing it on your counter, definitely a month or two without any problems.
Do you see people getting creative with the spices and flavors that they're adding?
Yeah, right. So like jerky is one of these platforms where just jerky itself, whether it be beef or pork or venison, is good, right? You want that salty, meaty, sweet flavor. And then you can go lots of different directions. And thankfully, there's lots of cool ideas if you go out to the grocery store or even gas stations of different flavors of jerky. But one of the most common, probably most popular, is like teriyaki jerky, right? So adding some soy sauce. And that does a few things. It adds some umami flavor from soy sauce, adds some saltiness, adds that soy, right, flavor, that teriyaki flavor. But there's also some science with what happens, because soy sauce is a little acidic. And the soy sauce will actually make the meat a little more acidic. And by doing so, it'll allow the drying process to actually happen faster. So there's an actual science-y element of making teriyaki jerky. But some of my favorites are, just a good blend of salt and sugar. And then I'm a spicy type person, so sometimes I'll add like some Frank's Red Hot sauce or some Tabasco sauce or whatever hot sauce I have to the mixture, to let that absorb and then go through the cooking and drying process.
That's just the beginning of the conversation with Extension meat specialist Jeff Sindelar as he shares tips and tricks on seasoning, safety, and more when it comes to making jerky this fall. The full interview is available at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We're losing ground in the global war against hunger. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing, the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthshoreProductions.com. Fresh air and sunshine are abundant on most farms and ranches. Farmers need to take care working in the sun, though. Excess exposure can lead to heat stroke and dehydration in the short term and potential skin cancer long term. Protect yourself. Wear sunscreen, loose clothing, and a wide brim hat. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Efforts to address world hunger have not kept up with the growth of the hunger problem. A group called CGIAR is working the problem, and its executive managing director, Ismahan Elawafi, says 2.3 billion persons are now food insecure.
The numbers in terms of malnutrition, the numbers in terms of poverty, it's really going worse in the last few years. It's not only COVID, it's not only the Ukraine war, it's much more than that.
Elawafi says innovation is the answer.
Could we make it better? Definitely. How so? Science, technology, and innovation. And we have seen in over the last 60 years how the use of technologies, innovation, made particularly in high-income country to produce more with less.
Elawafi says crop breeding is key to solving the problem.
We use a technology like gene editing to breed them very quickly, and that breeding quickly in species could go from 15 years to about 3 to 4 years, and it used to cost about 100 million per variety, could cost about 5 million per variety. So you got speed and you got also cost saving.
And says Elawafi, we need to spend more on ag research globally. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'm joined by Yuri Rashkin, a Rock County Board supervisor and a Russian-American journalist. We discuss the Ukraine-Russia war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the
recombobulation area.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shutdown drags on. We are beginning month number two. You've been hearing about federal food assistance benefits that expire on November 1st. That's tomorrow. Whitney Drukier runs a food bank in Philadelphia.
We are already seeing a drastic increase in our clients coming in to our pantries saying that they are in need of food supplies. Some cuts have already been made. People are already seeing it in their accounts.
Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor has been removed from the official role of the peerage. That's the first step to removing all of his titles. The move initiated by King Charles. Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor used to be called Prince Andrew, Duke of York, but he was stripped of those titles last night by the king. 1 million bottles of a blood pressure medication have been recalled because it might be including a cancer-causing chemical. And strong storms roaring through parts of the Northeast this week. Winds around New York City whipping up to gusts of 50 miles an hour. This is ABC News.